news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Well, hello out there, and welcome again to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Moran, and my brother JS to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and we hope, yeah, enjoyable stories even, that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. And today, we offer you another podcast from our BioBlast series that we've entitled The Man with Great Regrets. And question, what would life have been like were a man to know he had been blessed with unmatched ability, that he had relied on this vast prowess to achieve distinction, preeminence, fame, and have earned his place amongst the pantheon of the greatest artists in his field of all time, that he was the subject of vast acclaim, and all of this while still only in his 20s. And yet, then following, you know, a decade, more than a decade of decadence, of notorious foolishness, outrageous behavior, then to realize, to know with absolute certainty, and then to have to admit, acknowledge that deservedly so, through nobody's fault but one's own wayward ways, that one has been discarded, written off by the world as nothing more than a drunken buffoon, a has-been, a nobody, no more than yesterday's news. I mean, to recognize all this, can you imagine the extent, the scope, the all-encompassing nature of the horror, you know, the agony that one would experience following recognition that one has truly wasted, absolutely squandered one's incredible gifts, and subsequently the inescapable pain to be endured at the recognition that recognition of all this has come too late, that nothing lost could ever be regained, that nothing might be recaptured. There would be no do-overs. All was lost and lost forever. There wasn't going to be a second chance here. Nope, no chance at redemption. What was done, and it was done forever. You know, to suffer the curse of the agonizingly slow death of one's spirit, one's emotional well-being, you know, ever struggling against the inevitability of the incoming tide, you know, in pointless, fruitless, and ever more painful but unhelpful exertions until finally drowning under a relentless, inexorable tsunami of regret as wave after wave of remorse sucks the last of the remaining juices from the soul of a man so condemned to go under. And all of this pain, all of this regret, and no one to blame but oneself, and by no less than at one's own hands, had he been both, had he not been both executioner and the executed? Hell, he'd been the judge and jury even of his own crimes as well. And if you think you know what such recognitions might cost, then you will understand the price that the author, the great American author, F. Scott Fitzgerald, paid for living the debauched life that F. Scott Fitzgerald himself had chosen to lead. By all measures, it hadn't been worth it. And we can make this judgment because F. Scott Fitzgerald, he himself told us this was so. According to Fitzgerald's own writings, he'd blown it all and had no one else to blame. And long before he died, a beaten, exhausted, worn out, bedraggled old man, even at the young age of 44, enfeebled by his debauched life, the only possible consequence of decades-long alcoholism and an ever-growing reliance, dependency upon drugs, he knew that he had just completely unraveled. You know, as many as 8 stints in rehab at Johns Hopkins over a period of less than 4 years had failed to solve his abuse problems. This is the degree to which this man was suffering. Yet he remained somehow still standing. The Theodore Roosevelt, the man in the arena, even if, you know, the rest of the world no longer took notice of him until his final collapse in Hollywood in 1940, where he simply just collapsed against a dresser and died. He hoped for a recovery. He hoped until his hopes were dashed upon the rocks, but he knew the score. He was simply a burnt-out case. His death in 1940 at the age of 44 warranted mention in the news, but only that, a mere mention, not much beyond noting that F. Scott Fitzgerald had passed. At one time, a long time ago, he had been a somebody. He had once been a very big deal. He had been in literary circles, the man. Now he was dead, and no one really cared. I mean, how does this possibly happen? A shadow of his former magnificent self, you know, just a shell of the star he once was. He had proved himself to have been a rather Schopenhauerian type character. You know, given the choice between living the life he had lived over and over and over in perpetuity, or given the choice never to have been born, Arthur Schopenhauer had written that he would have chosen never to have been born in the first place. Now, that's the school of pessimism, is it not? And Fitzgerald wrote much the same thing of his life, you know, of all life, that life, all of nature, he had written, was nothing but the process of irreversible decline, desiccation, decay, of which life he was all too familiar and of which he was not at all a fan. When regret is one's primary emotion, and psychologists do consider regret to be a counterfactual emotion, you know, what might life have been like if I had made different choices? Life doesn't have much to offer by way of compensation. Happiness is too little, too late, or it doesn't appear at all. And in Fitzgerald's mind, this was the way it was. This is the way life would always be. This is the way of nature. And it in no way offsets all the pain and suffering that life entails. And this from a man who had written This Side of Paradise at age 23, followed by The Beautiful and Damned at the age of 25, then followed by The Great Gatsby, written at the age of 29. Later, he wrote Tender is the Night and The Last Tycoon. Well, that was actually released posthumously, but he had written it. Are you kidding me? How could a man who could write these works, how could all this happen to him? Well, in a variation of a theme once expressed by Leo Tolstoy, the writer, the life story of F. Scott Fitzgerald does nothing but provide further evidence that all happiness is the same. It is only misery that is unique, and that is the story of F. Scott Fitzgerald. How is it? How does a man with so much talent, such artistic genius, and whose gifts have been on display from such a young age, live in so destructive a fashion that at the time of his death, at only the age of 44, that his death is deemed irrelevant? You know, Oscar Wilde died at 46, the critic E.O. Wilson killed himself at 33, and they were big news. You know, we have famous writers, poets such as, you know, Rimbaud, Keats, Sylvia Plath, Emily Bronte, they died young and they were news. But how is it that a man whom when the modern library in 1999, at the end of the 20th century, polled readers as to list the greatest novels that had ever been written in the English language, F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, published in 1920, 8 decades previously, was rated the second best novel of all time, topped only by James Joyce's Ulysses. I mean, if this is the case, how is it possible that such a rare talent died and the world held so little regard for his passing that news of his death warranted little more than a mere footnote in history? He made the papers, but as a footnote. Well, it is this particular question, the rise, decline, and fall of a great man, and the fact that next year, 2025, will mark the 100th anniversary of the publication of The Great Gatsby, the greatest novel ever written by an American. These matters will be the subjects that we will elaborate upon further in upcoming episodes of this BioBlast series that we've entitled, you know, A Man with Great Regrets. And we hope that that you will tune in. Since we're going to cover these subjects, how about that being the case? We hope that you will, in a kind of a variation, a takeoff of the 1960s acid king, Dr. Tim Leary's famous line, his suggestion that we all turn on, tune in, but don't drop out. We hope you'll be back. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
I slip from the harbor, head out to the sea. Crystal blue water surrounding me. Tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze. Tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? Tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea's now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. From tomorrow, days from the land. Nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Stormy it is worse than life, no control. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. There was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. A beautiful face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. On the high seas.